Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. A football team takes to the practice field in preparation for a big game. The coach calls a weak side linebacker blitz. As the ball is snapped, the linebacker sees the running back sprinting toward the flat and immediately takes off after him instead of blitzing the quarterback. In the meantime, the quarterback runs right through the hole where the linebacker should have been blitzing and goes up the field to score a touchdown. When the coach asked the linebacker why he had covered the running back instead of blitzing, he replied that he thought he should cover the running back in that situation. Well, needless to say, his explanation did not change the fact that he was wrong, even though he thought he was doing the right thing. The linebacker learned the hard way that what he thought was not important. His responsibility was to do what the coach told him to do. It is likely that every one of us has had a similar experience in which we did what we thought was right, only to find out that we were wrong. Sometimes the results are inconsequential, like the time I put what I thought was the right dishwashing detergent in our dishwasher. When mounds of suds began to seep out of the dishwasher, I learned my mistake. Only detergent made for dishwashers should go into dishwashers. In other cases, the results can be serious or even life-threatening, like turning the wrong way on a one-way street or failing to be certain a gun is unloaded before pulling the trigger. Today, we're going to consider the spiritual implications of thinking we are right before God while actually being in contradiction to His will. In all of the New Testament, there is no better example of a man who thought he was right but was wrong than Saul of Tarsus. When we first read of him, he was present when the Jewish leaders dragged Stephen outside the city of Jerusalem and stoned him to death. In Acts chapter 7, verse 58, the scripture says that they laid their robes at the feet of Saul, who was at that time a young man. Now, he was not just an interested bystander to this event. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us that he was in hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death. Furthermore, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, he went even further in demonstrating his feelings about Christians. The scripture says, "But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women, he put them in prison." In later years, then known as Paul, he would testify on several occasions as to the depth of his enthusiasm and commitment to what he had done as a younger man. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, here's what he said to the churches of Galatia. "For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." Now, the point of sharing this aspect of Paul's former life was to illustrate to the Galatian Christians, most of whom were Gentiles, that he had always been zealous to do God's will, both as a Jew and as a Christian. The zeal with which Paul preached Christ was a reflection of his character. He had always wholeheartedly pursued that which he believed to be right. This fact is further borne out by comments he made in defense of his life before King Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, verses 4 through 11, this is what Paul said. "So then, all Jews know my manner of life from my youth up, which from the beginning was spent among my own nation and at Jerusalem. Since they have known about me for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that I lived as a Pharisee, according to the strictest sect of our religion. And now I am standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, the promise to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly serve God night and day. And for this hope, O King, I am being accused by Jews. Why is it incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. Now we need to understand that Paul the Apostle was not proud of what he had done to the church as Saul of Tarsus, but he truthfully related to both the Christians of Galatia and to King Agrippa what his actions had been. Once again, this is testimony to his character. Saul of Tarsus, zealous Pharisee and relentless persecutor of Christians, was doing what he believed that God wanted him to do. Notice again in verse 9 that we read a moment ago. Paul thought that he had to do these things against the name of Jesus. He most certainly thought that he was right in doing them. In testimony before the Jewish council in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, he admitted as much. He said, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day." So when, as Saul of Tarsus, he persecuted the church, he absolutely believed that he was right in doing so. But was he right to persecute the church? Well, as certain as Saul was that he was right to persecute Christians, the testimony of Scripture is that he was dead wrong. The record of his encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus and his subsequent conversion make this very clear to us. The 9th chapter of Acts begins with Saul continuing his deadly persecution of the disciples. So ardent was his desire to punish Christians that he requested and received authority from the high priest to go as far as Damascus in search of Christians in order to bring them bound to Jerusalem. While he was on this mission, Saul of Tarsus met the Lord. In Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6, Luke records this encounter. Here's what Luke says. "As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do.'" The rest of the story, in verses 7 through 19, is that Saul was blinded by this light, and he spent 3 days in Damascus, sightless, fasting and praying to God all that time. At the end of 3 days, a Christian named Ananias came to Saul and restored his sight. After this, Saul was baptized into Christ, and then he ate a meal. Luke's record gives us only a synopsis of what transpired between Saul and Ananias, but the Lord had told Saul that in Damascus he would be told what he must do. So what did Ananias tell Saul? Well, in one of his defenses before the Jews, Paul himself revealed the message that he had received from Ananias. In Acts chapter 22, verses 12 through 16, the Scripture says, and this is Paul speaking, "A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very time I looked up at him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name.'" Now, the words of Ananias strike us like a thunderclap, especially in our current culture. Saul of Tarsus thought he was right in what he did in persecuting Christians. He was sure that he was serving God. But Ananias said, "Saul, you're wrong, and you must do something different in order to be right with God." You see, even after seeing Jesus and speaking to him on the road to Damascus, Saul was still wrong. even after fasting and praying for 3 days, Saul was still wrong. He was still in his sins. His perfectly good conscience could not justify him. Only baptism for the forgiveness of his sins could make him right before God. And that's what Ananias told him to do, to get up and be baptized and wash away his sins. Now, we've earlier referred to the conclusion of Luke's account of Saul's conversion, but let's read it from God's Word. In Acts chapter 9, verses 18 and 19, the Scripture says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened." What we see here is that when all was said and done, Saul of Tarsus did not refuse to obey what Ananias had told him. He immediately was baptized in order to wash away his sins, just as Ananias said, and just so he could be truly right with God. The importance of Saul's response should not be ignored, yet it is generally minimized as his conversion is considered. When Saul was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, he was going against everything that he had ever believed to be true. He was going against his family's heritage and the centuries-long heritage of his tribe and nation. Becoming a Christian meant that he must turn his back on his great teacher Gamaliel and on the sect of the Pharisees, who were known throughout Judaism as the most faithful keepers of the law. For Saul to believe that obedience to Christ was right, he had to admit that his former life was wrong. But in the end, Saul was a man whose character would not allow him to continue doing wrong when he learned what was right, no matter what it might cost him. Now here is where Saul's story meets all of us head on. An old adage says, "I'd rather be right than president." This adage reflects the kind of character that Saul had, and that is so sadly lacking today. You see, too many today are unconcerned with doing what is right, so long as they are able to have or to achieve what they want. This attitude is spread across every facet of our culture, but is nowhere more tragic than in terms of our relationship to God. The commands of Scripture regarding salvation and the work and worship of the church are surprisingly simple and clearly stated in the New Testament. Nevertheless, countless souls go about their daily affairs thinking they are right, even though what they believe and practice contradicts Scripture. Too many times when these folks are exposed to the truth, they respond with words like these, "Well, if that is true, you're saying that my mother or father or some other loved one is wrong." And in the spirit of the old song from the 1970s that said, "If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right," they reject the truth. If there is only one thing we learn from Saul of Tarsus, it is that simply thinking you are right does not make it so. Those who are right are those who obey God's word. There simply is no other option. Saul of Tarsus thought he was right, until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and heard the preaching of Ananias. When he learned what was right, nothing could keep him from doing it so that he would be right with God. Today, have you done what Saul did to be right with God so that your sins will be washed away? If not, why don't you obey the gospel as he did so long ago? There is nothing in the world worth the loss of your soul, no matter how right you may think you are. You are only right when you obey the Lord's commands. And we urge you, we plead with you, do what the Lord has said is right, and then you know your soul will be secure. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.